Pastor Tom was talking about it, and we've been kind of looking at it, that your brain actually can change. And so if your brain can change, your mind can change. Amen? And if it can change, it can grow. And so if your brain can grow and your mind can grow, you can go all the days of your life being changed every day. And you know what? Without a change every day, it gets boring, doesn't it? Like if you went out every day and you were on an assembly line, it was a real boring assembly line, that you just went, I mean, that'd be a tough deal. And you'd really have to set your mind to at least get off of work and change something when you're going to work or off from work so that you could have some excitement in your life. And I know that living for Christ and walking with the Lord, there's always excitement. So 38 years ago, Super Bowl Sunday, I gave my life to Christ after all of the wild stuff that I'd been through, and there was a lot of wild things. 2 years before that, I laid in the hospital, and I was paralyzed from my neck down. And you know what? 2 years before that, I had went to a Lo Lundstrom meeting, same evangelist, but walked out on the altar call. And you know, I said, well, what if I wouldn't have walked out? Because it was in 1975. This would have been 1979. It was more than 2 years. But anyway, I had been there and I'd walked out and had not accepted Christ as my Savior. And I always had this real big thought, too, is when I was in the Navy, these guys that knew a little bit about the Bible, and I think they were born again, they didn't really share that much, but they said that the end of the world was going to happen right around 1984, 1985. Well, you know, this was 1970 to 1974. And so I got this information and I started thinking, well, if that would be the case, I could sow wild oats or whatever I was sowing for all these years, and then when I get up to 1981, 1982, I'm going to get my act together and really, you know, really say, God, look at me now. I'm doing all these things. I'm looking better. But I started thinking after laying in the hospital, I started thinking, man, I better not wait until 1981 or 1982, or I won't make her out. And so that was my concept of thought about the Lord, and if I could get my act together, then I'd serve the Lord. And if I served the Lord for 3 years pretty good, then he would accept me and I'd go to heaven. So that was my concept. And you know, what Peter McHugh said when he came here, he had taken statistics, and he said 81% of people in the United States thinks this way, that they have to work their way to a place that God accepts them, and then they're received onto the Lord. And I had that same deal. I just remember it so well, but that's not the way God is it? And I was thinking about the stories in the Bible, and you know, from the very beginning, God was for Adam and Eve. He really was for Adam and Eve. And he showed them everything. I mean, just think about two people that he had created out of the dust of the earth, and they walked with God, they talked with God, they were in his presence. In the evenings, they would take walks together, and I would imagine what God was telling him and telling her. It had been powerful, huh? Because he took care of a garden. The garden was 1,000 square miles. Now, you can be a pretty good farmer, but you can't take care of 1,000 square miles. And then you named all the animals. His thinking was a little higher level thinking at that time. And so walking with God and enjoying that, and I really believe that that's where God wants us to, if there's a striving or a pressing to, as Pastor Tom was talking about in the scriptures in Philippians, he said, brothers and sisters. Important. We are brothers and sisters, and we're pressing to that place to get back with the walk with God in the garden. because that was a perfect place. There was not a better place on earth than that. Now you'd say, well, you know, why didn't God just cut them a break? And yeah, they blew it, but why don't you just cut them a break and they could stay in the garden and walk with you and talk with you? Well, the problem is there was another tree in that garden called the tree of life. And now they had seen through the enemy, their eyes were open to themselves, and they started experiencing selfishness and covering themselves with fig leaves to cover all their, well, who said you were naked? You know, and of course, that started that whole process. So he had to be, this thing is nuts. All right, he had to be dismissed. They had to be dismissed from the garden, or they would have lived that life all their life in selfishness. And you know, just the example is when Cain and Abel, you know, having sons, when Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel, and then God said, you know, where's Abel? And Cain got real upset, and he said, well, am I my brother's keeper? And of course, the answer was very evident. Yes, you are. I'm my brother's keeper. You know, but his statement was, am I my brother's keeper? You know, who cares about your brother? Who cares about your sister? You know, that scripture in Philippians said, you know, it addressed us, brothers and sisters. You know, and that's so important that God has addressed us as brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. And you know what? The Father isn't trying to get you to work any place to work to him. You're already a son. You're already a daughter. Amen? And whatever you do, whether it be good or bad, I find out that moms and dads stick with you. A lot of other people might not stick with you, but basically, when you're a son, when you're a daughter, whatever you do, your mom and dad, they'll stick with you. And of course, they want the best for you, and certainly God wants the best for us. But we see that picture in the prodigal son as he come back. He was going to be a servant, and a servant has to serve, and if he serves well, then he's accepted, right? And so in the mind of his own, even his son, he said, I'll become a servant because the servants are treated better than what I've got out here. I'm eating pig's food. You know, I mean, you get down there, I'm eating pig's food, but now there was that opportunity to be a son. And you know, ever since I gave my heart to Christ, God's always reminded me that I'm a son. And he's always treated me. Now, if my theology was off, then he would find a way to talk with me. And I was thinking about the man Moses when he was in the garden, or when he was at the bush that was burning. You know, Moses throughout, if you can read the Old Testament, it's almost like that was kind of his born-again experience. Because he had traveled, he had been certainly picked, he was saved by God because he was a beautiful child, and he was saved to be one of the greatest deliverers of Israel. And so he went to this burning bush, and he said, take off your shoes because this place is holy. And you know, I really believe that from that point on, there was a lot of questions that Abraham asked, but when he asked those questions, Moses asked, but those questions were important. And when you give your heart to Christ, the questions that you ask are important because every day you're going to be challenged to hear from God. And when you hear from God every day, it's pretty interesting. Amen. God does not want a boring life for you, your husband, your family. He wants the greatest life that he could ever give you. And he's trying to get us back to the garden. Pretty cool. You know, we talk about the presence. We talk about singing, praise and worship. I've been through a lot of praise and worship in 38 years. We remember the little cute songs that we sang, and they were one-liners, and then it was a little bit more sophisticated. But praise and worship is a powerful tool that God wants to use. And sometimes, you know, the tools of God seems foolishness to the world. You singing and praising and, you know, giving all your heart and just saying, God, you're so good. You know, I love you with a never-ending love. Father, I think you're the hottest thing going. You know, I don't know where that song come, but it's a real song. You know, God is the hottest thing going. He's the greatest thing that mankind needs. Today, each one of us, from 38 years ago, God began to lead me like Moses, and it was a born-again experience. And old things had passed away, behold. And in a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, you started seeing the change. And almost every day, I'd say in that first year, there was literally maybe a thousand things that changed in my heart. That's the God that we serve. He can change the heart. Now, sometimes he has a real hard time changing the noggin up here. But when your heart's changed, that's miracle. When your heart's changed, it's miracle working power. And I believe in 2016 that God wants the church and every person involved and in the church to have a heart change. And if I'm talking, first of all, I have to have a heart change. And I'm right in the middle of it. And when a man like Peter McHugh, when he laying in a fetal position, all tensed out, apparently there was something that needed to change. And he had that great heart change. Peter had a heart change, and it changed his church. It changed the areas around his life and around his city. And he was set free. How many people would like to be set free? I mean, you might be set free right now, and that's a good thing, but the enemy wants to bind you up. He wants to take the promises of God, confuse you in them, and then get you kind of looking down at situations, looking down at yourself because you failed. Well, you know what? God's not about failing. He's about conquering and winning. And that's who the God that we serve is, the one that has conquered and the one that has won. Amen? Yes. And so in that, you are a winner. Hallelujah. And everything that you're doing, you are a winner. Why don't you just say that? I'm a winner. All right. Do you remember the question that Moses asked God? He said, well, who should I say sent me? To the Israelites, because Moses was concerned, okay, I've heard from God, and you know, God actually spoke to him right there. I've heard from God, but now when I go over there, you know, you're not going to be in the burning bush. I can't drag this burning bush with me. Who should I say that you are? And what did he say? He said what? I am. I said, well, you could have got a better name than that. Just tell him I am. All right. Okay. Well, okay. So I'm sure Moses was real excited about, well, what are you going to tell him? Just tell him that the I am sent you. I said, okay. How did that go for Moses? Hallelujah. He used it, but it wasn't very efficient as far as just saying I am. And then when he said that, he was expecting some results. And you remember that the Israelites got so upset with him, because when the Pharaoh seen that this deliverer come, Moses came, he said, we're going to take all the straw away from the slaves, the Israelite slaves, and we're going to make them find their own straw and make the bricks. And they could not get further back in their quota. They had to keep online. Well, could you imagine, you know, God sent you. You had this big, great message, and he gave you his name, I am. And then you see the testings of your faith, the testings of who you are and what you're going to be is always going to be there. Amen? And it's not always the devil testing us. Amen? And so I was thinking about identification. We're going to, again, have an opportunity to look at a five-minute area on identification that starts this Wednesday. And I believe that if I could say it's the most important thing that you could possibly do is to come to these classes and sit down. There's going to be discussion. There's going to be areas of giving information, and then we're going to sit down and we're going to discuss it. And I really believe that the church is going to grow in a major way and that our hearts are going to shift. They're going to change because we can change. We can change. Our brains can grow. Our lives can change. So just in this, it says, in him, I am complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Now you think about Moses there. He was complete in who? In him. So the I am, you know, sometimes like when we go like this, I am more than a conqueror. I am a mighty man of God. I am a mighty man or woman of God. I have, you know, sometimes there's a lot of I in there. But if you go back to Moses, he said, well, who sent me? I am sent me. And so when you say, I am a mighty man, I am complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. The I am is with you. Like today, when you leave this place, who's going to be with you? I am is going to be with you. I am alive with Christ. What are you? I'm alive. Was Moses alive with Christ? After that, Moses' life changed tremendously. He became a man of God. He became a man that sought God, because if he didn't, he figured it was curtains. God was his only supplier. And it took a while, and it was a battle. But he was breaking through mightily. And it says, I am free from the law of sin and death. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me. I'm sure Moses could have used that. Fear does not come near me. Fear of finances, fear of failure, fear of sickness can not come near me. You start getting those things. Well, who told you that? The I am told me that. And who's walking with you? I am. Who are you walking in? In the I am. Praise God. So for 38 years, I could go back after I was totally frustrated with all of my trying to do something, even solving problems. I could go back and I said, hey, the I am is with me. When sometimes you just throw up your hands, you think that it's a futile fight, but God will always finish the fight that you start, and especially if you started in the name of I am. It goes, I am born of God, and the evil one does not touch me. You know, I could have probably argued with that. I remember the first time Jack Hines said that the devil was this big. I said, okay. And so we go out and we're trying to be ministers and we're trying to preach the gospel. And we come back and we're all beat up. And so we went over to Jack. I said, well, we found out that the devil is that big. And so we didn't understand that until a couple of years later when we started seeing the authority that God was growing in our life. I'm sure when Moses started the battle with Pharaoh and with the Egyptians, hey, it wasn't an easy deal. But when he every day when he went and he seen a miracle, sign, and wonder, I'm sure he got pretty excited. He said, man, who's with me? The I am is with you. I don't know if the name was so much for the Israelites as it was for Moses. Amen? I mean, Moses could rely on that name. Who's with you, Moses? The I am is with me. Hallelujah. And throughout his life, and he led the children of Israel for 40 years. That's a long time. And I'm sure that he was really happy that the first day of his ministry that he got assurance that Christ was with him. God was with him. How about us? Here's another statement. I am holy and without blame before him in love. Well, the I am has changed my heart. I can love. I can love better. I can love longer. I can walk because the I am is with me. Amen? You know, it's interesting about the Lord's Prayer. He gave about six or seven things, and one of them was just easy deal, you know, thank the Lord for your daily bread. You know, and I didn't think that was important until, it, you know, you fast for about 40 days, you'd find out how important that is. You better have the I Am with you if you're going to do stuff like that. Amen? And you don't want to go for 80. Moses did that. That was a miracle. But the I Am was with him. And that's the game changer. And we're going to have a movie here in about 5 minutes that it's a game changer. And the whole deal is it's a game changer. It's changing. And we have to challenge ourselves to say, God, you can change me. You can change others. And the change is to the I Am. You're looking better today. You don't know how good you're looking today. When you got up in the mirror today, how did you look? Well, it looked beautiful. Well, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new start. And the I Am is with you. And if he wasn't with you yesterday because you didn't say, are you still with me? Yes, I am. I am with you. There's a few other ones. I have the mind of Christ. Sometimes you use that mind. You can have a mind, but, you know, the mind of Christ is continually changing us. Isn't that true? If we submit this here to him, then he's changing our mind. And like I said, it wasn't hard because, you know, sin, when you're living in sin, when you're living deep in sin, you know it's wrong. You know, you don't have to go tell a sinner that he's a sinner. He knows he's a sinner. And all the things that he's in or she's in, they know that they're in it. You don't have to go and rehearse it to them. But what you do need to know that there's a mind that God's wanting to put in you, which is his mind. And Moses' mind changed. I mean, he wandered around the wilderness. He went and killed a guy at 40. Then he wandered around the wilderness for another 40. And God at 80, finally, you know what? I'm far away from 80, but I'm a lot closer than most of you. And so wouldn't it be wild that God, you know, at 80, he would come for a visitation to Kurt Jacobson's house, and he would say, son, I'm about ready to use you. And I'd be going, well, God, how about all these other years? He'd say, yeah, we'll discuss that when you get on the other side. But he gets you to the place where he actually can use you. And Moses, it took 80 years. And sometimes I think our beginning at 80 years, I'm beginning to understand. My stepfather, the last day, or maybe the second last day, evangelist Jack Hines, myself, went to him in an old people's home. And he was, he had bone cancer. He had all sorts of different things. They moved him. And his bones busted. You know, I mean, you talk about, but the last statement he made to me that I will never forget, he said, and he was 68, 69 years old, he said, I'm beginning to understand. And sometimes we have to realize that the I Am, let's not wait to 68, 69, but the I Am is with you. And all the promises of identification, who are you? That's really what God was asking, and Moses was asking, saying, well, I'm asking who you are, God, but really he brought it back to him. Who are you, Moses? And through reality, he began, through reality thinking about God, he began to identify who he was. And so many times we lose our identity because we let the world put our identity on us. Amen? And if you didn't match up, if you didn't do perfect things in school, if you had problems here and had problems there, the world will place a marker on you saying you can only go that high. And God's saying, I'm taking the marker off and you can go into heavenly places with me. Today, I really believe that that's his total promise, that after 38 years of living with the Lord, it's like Moses, after 80 years, he was born again. And I don't know when his, maybe that was the only time. It doesn't say a whole lot. It just tells us that he grew up in Pharaoh's house and he was fed off the table of Pharaoh. He was educated there. At 40, he killed someone. Then he went to the wilderness and became a sheep herder for 40 years. And then his assignment from God came and he had this conversation with the Lord. And that changed the whole destiny of his life and a whole nation. So what happens in our lives when we realize who we are in Christ, I am, what happens? Destiny of maybe world-changing things, you're a world changer. You are a game changer. In the game of life, I really believe he's sending each one of us. If we could let our hearts, you know, don't grab the sermon, grab the heart. And that your heart will be, hey, I am better because I start identifying with everything God said that I am. And Moses went through, you just think about that whole life. I mean, he went through hell and high water, you know, pardon the expression, but it was a wild deal. I mean, he went through a training on how he had to deal with himself and didn't get this way. And sometimes he failed and he smote the rock too many times because of his anger issues, but he was a man that God was working with, and I really believe that each one, man and woman that is in this place, that God's working with us, and he's changing us, and your mind can be changed, and you can go higher up, and you can be a game changer. Juan, you can be a game changer. Mexico isn't that big. That's just a circle on a map. And your words your actions could make that thing happen because we join another team. Liberia isn't that big. We were praying yesterday for our Liberian brothers and sisters, and we remember Steve Mbyanje. He said Uganda isn't that big, and he's the guy is all over the place, and he's changing the earth. And the identification of what the enemy has placed in those places. Because the I am is going with you. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, today. We ask, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost and even this movie and this area would move us. That we said, okay, we have to do something to change. And when God instructs us, then if we could attend, if we could be there, God. You know, when Moses was at that burning bush, it was a powerful deal. He had to be there. And he seen that God was there. And I believe this Wednesday night deal, I really believe that God's going to be there because he's coming with you. The I am. Bring the I am with you. And I believe that we will all change together. Amen. And I think that's a company that God's wanting. Israel was 12 tribes, but each one of them worked together. And at least that's what God wanted them to do. So I really believe that this a game-changer deal on Wednesday night is going to be a life-changing deal. And I wouldn't miss it. And if you have to miss it one night, get it and get the handout and read it and consider it. Again, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Anyone that's needing prayer after this area of advertisement, please come on up. We'll pray for you. We can lift up our brother Paul Ramsey. He had some pains in his back, and in fact, we'll lift him up right now in the name of Jesus Christ. On my birthday, if there was a present, Lord, that Paul would receive a healing in his back. A healing, whatever's going on there, God, we rebuke it. We come against it. We believe, Lord, that he's healed. He's miraculously made whole. Even as we're praying right now, that the power of the Holy Spirit would touch and deliver and bring great, great healing to him now. In Jesus' name, amen. Dan.
Life in Christ says that frustration tells you where your upgrade is located. Frustration is a signpost. Follow the sign. It's like frustration, here's your sign. Somewhere there is an upgrade in your location. Go find it. It's like one of the other laws of life in Christ is a problem can never be there without a promise and a provision also being present. Every problem comes with a promise and a provision attached to it. Why? Because you're a citizen of heaven. God takes that seriously. He will not allow a negative to be in your life without a provision and a promise from Him also being present. So what I'm saying to you is, what if it's impossible for you to have a problem without a promise and a provision attached? What would that look like? So when you get a problem, you're excited. Come on, think it through. You're excited, right? OMG, I have a problem. Brilliant. This is going to be amazing. What do? You call your best friend. Yeah. Now, I haven't really opened it yet. I've just been too busy drooling. Yeah. It's like I'm looking at it thinking, my Lord, if the problem's that big, how much bigger is the promise? And then how much bigger than the promise is the provision? Yeah? So I'm feeling like, you know, the provision right now that I'm imagining is dwarfing the size of the problem. And I've only had it for like 40 minutes. Yeah. It's amazing. I'm just so super excited. What you know. So how are you doing anyway? You don't have a problem. Well, just hang in there, man. What are we doing? We're excited. What if we can take fellowship to a whole different level? What if we're going to have fellowship around our promises and our provisions? Yeah, because we don't call them problems, because technically there aren't any problems. There are just massive possibilities. What if it's designed to open you up to a bigger possibility from heaven than you imagined? Yeah? You understand what we're doing here? We're going to have to fight off all our conditioning from the world around us. Yeah? That's why we're saying it's so important that you absolutely have an intention to kill negativity stone dead. Because it is dead. It belongs to the old man. You're walking in newness of life. You see things differently. And you think about things differently. Yeah? And all y'all are talking about stuff very differently. I don't have a problem. I have an exciting possibility. This is going to be great. What if it's going to be so much fun? Discovering the blessing and the purpose of God. You see, all problems, when the enemy presents you with a difficulty, the oxygen that keeps that difficulty alive and growing is your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your panic, your doubt, your mistrust. That's the oxygen that makes problems appear bigger than they are and that keeps that thing alive. When you take it to a high place in praise, in worship, in thanksgiving, in rejoicing. That's why James said, count it all joy. Because if you count this as joyful, you deny that problem any breath. So it can't have a hold on you because heaven has a hold on you, because that's what rejoicing is for.
Hallelujah. Where do I sign up? All right. Yes, please do. Jenny is, actually we have Dar Smith coming from Canada to present the first shot. And Dar, she's a fireball, so
Yeah, she is. I guess I wanted to encourage everybody here to participate in this. I've been listening to the DVDs at home, and they are amazing. I mean, it's a life-changing thing. God has really done something in me. My thinking, like he's talking about the negativity, that we think positively about every situation and every circumstance. And just the way we think of who we are and who he is, I just want to encourage everybody, because it is definitely something we need to get a hold of how we think of ourselves. Because I know for myself, I have thought negatively about myself for years. But that's not who I am. And God, you know, God has blessings and promises for me, and who I am is who I am in him. Not what people perceive me, not what people think of me, but it's who he thinks of me and how I think about every situation, every circumstance. So I really encourage everybody to come. He really challenges you on how you think about every situation, everything in your life, of how you think, to think positively about even your trials of everything. So I will be in the back. I do have these books here. They're $16 a piece. I just really encourage you to get a hold of this.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. 6:30 on Wednesday, this is happening. Dar Smith is going to be here. We had a blast with her. We were in Regina and Verdon, Manitoba last week, and that girl she's crazy, man. In a good way. All right. Well, God bless you. May you go with the power and the Spirit of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his goodness shine upon you. May you have the best week that you could ever have, because he's changing our mind. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Anyone needing prayer for anything, please come and we'll pray. As far as sign up on this, on the back table, there's sign up on it, so that'll be great.
Faith to move the mountains and hope to dream again.